So Father Larry is going to talk to us about the consecration to the heart, to the United Hearts for the conversion of the heart of the world into spiritual union with the divine will. He'll break that down for us.
I think I got the best part here. Father Mike had all the hard stuff. Get us started. I went back and I looked at the goals because I thought I was doing evangelization originally, but I'm kind of covered a little bit. Can't help but overlap with this. But I looked at the message for March 5th. Blessed Mother gave one. Said, this was the objective. Jesus comes a little while later and they said, this was the objective. He expanded it. And basically said, the goals of the children of the United Hearts is to pray for peace in all hearts through holy love. Now we keep throwing that word holy love out there, and that's a handle for what the Bible tells us from Deuteronomy and Jesus in Matthew, love of God above everything else, and love your neighbor as yourself, which is a summary of the Ten Commandments. And you think about it. People always, oh, the Ten Commandments, oh, those are negative. Well, if you're a Christian or even a good Muslim or a good person, they're common sense rules of good behavior. You know, do not kill, do not steal, do not cheat your neighbor. But if you look at the positive side of the commandments, it's love. Because God is love. God is not some guy waiting for you to make a mistake and then grab you by the neck and say, I got you, fool. No, that's not it. So the thing is, the first goal was to pray for peace in all hearts through holy love. And see, we have to be living in holy love. And so the second part of that message is spiritual union with the will of God the Father. Now, that spiritual union is the whole purpose of life. You know, the old Baltimore cows in the old days. Well, why were you born? To love God. You know, and people have no clue as to why they're even here in this world today. That's the first problem. They don't know why they're here. They think they're here to have a good time. The young people, they've never been taught anything. And it's really sad. So they live in dissolute lives of drugs and sex and whatever, and they don't know why they're here. And so prayer will help them to open their hearts and minds to why they're here. So quickly, this first part, pray for peace in all hearts via holy love. It says, and Jesus says, pray continually. Everywhere you are. What does that mean? It's the whole always said, pray no matter where. If you're in your car driving, I do a lot. I pray the rosary in the car constantly. I drive over 2,000 miles a month, you know, between my parishes. And, you know, take a break. And so I pray innumerable rosaries in the car. And just think how easy it is to whip out the card now and pray this consecration. You can have it in your visor, right? So pray no matter where you are. And this you can pray 100 times a day. And no matter who you're with, you can be a witness. Oh, what are you doing? I'm just praying this little prayer. And then that would be kind of opening for evangelization. And what is this prayer you're praying? And you can give them a card if you have an extra. Okay, so pray continue. Then this is something we haven't touched on yet. Jesus says, the Blessed Mother says, savor the grace of each moment. What does that mean, savor? It's like you enjoying a good steak and a bottle of wine. You savor that meal or a nice dessert. You savor it. You enjoy it. So Jesus and Blessed Mother say, enjoy what you're doing. You should be, when you pray, you should be full of joy. Because what is prayer? Prayer is a lifting of a heart and mind to God. I read St. Jean Vianney what he wrote this morning. And it's like, this was good, perfect, divine providence. He says, prayer is union with God, where you enter in ecstatic joy. Union with God in ecstatic joy. That's prayer. And he says, the great saints, you know, we're not like the great saints. The great saints spoke directly face to face with God. And there have been saints that spoke directly face to face with God. And look at St. Pio. They caught him one day. He was holding the infant Jesus. Then you've seen the statue of the other saint there. St. Anthony. He's also. Now, where did that statue come from? He probably also was holding the infant Jesus at some point in his life. And so you had saints that were so holy that Jesus appeared to them as an infant or as an adult maybe and had a loving conversation, because prayer is really a communion of love. And so Jesus says, so we say, what are you doing? You're having a conversation with someone you love. That's what prayer is. Now, we have all kinds of types of prayers that we do. Father Michael maybe touch on a few. You know, petition prayer. Adoration is prayer. Thanksgiving is prayer. We think of just give me, give me, give me. And if you don't give to me, as Saint Vianney says, I'm out of here. You know, that's what kind of love relationship was that? Unfortunately, many people copy that, don't they? They get married and says, if she doesn't work out or if he doesn't work out, I'm out of here. And the average marriage nowadays lasts, what, less than 5 years. I don't care if they're Catholics or Protestants or whatever. You know, and that's sad. That's very sad. It leaves a lot of scars. And so we're in a conversation with God. And it's supposed to be, as I said, love. It's a heart-to-heart conversation. And so you need to do what? Before you pray, you have to shut your mind down and find a quiet place to pray. Now, you think the car is a very quiet place. So it only works well when you're on an interstate. In the city, on a country road, it doesn't always work well if there's too much distraction. But at least you can try to pray. And be always being in the attitude and disposition of prayer. As I said, it's a communion of love. The second portion here, spiritual union with the will of Father. And it took right from the words. It says, reflect the divine love in word and deed. Reflect divine love. If we really love, you're going to attract other people. And people will see this difference in you. And that will win souls to the realm of the faithful. The United Hearts is a safe refuge of the remnant. And before I go too further on, I'm going to have you dig that prayer up. It's on the back of my very scant bullets. It says, prayer of blessed, it's not blessed, it's venerable, John Henry Cardinal Newman, soon to be blessed. Now, if you don't know who Cardinal Newman was, he was a convert in England in the 19th century. He spent half his life in the Anglican Church and the other half in the Catholic Church. I'm also a convert. I spent half my life in the Episcopal Church, or maybe if I live long enough, half my life in the Catholic Church. And he's written this beautiful prayer, and I think we should pray it right now. Because this is a prayer that will help us to be that witness of love. It says, dear Jesus, help me to spread your fragrance wherever I go. Flood my soul with your spirit and life. Penetrate and possess my whole being so utterly that my life can only be a radiance of yours. Shine through me and be so in me that every soul I come in contact with may feel your presence in my soul. Let them look up and see no longer me, but only Jesus. Stay with me, and then I shall begin to shine as you shine, so to shine as to be the light to others. The light of Jesus will be all from you. None of it will be mine. It will be you shining on others through me. Let me thus praise you the way you love best, by shining on those around me. Let me preach you without preaching, not by words, but by my example, by the catching force of the sympathetic influence of what I do, the evident fullness of the love my heart bears to you. Amen. Doesn't that say it all? Now, this was given to me just recently in a later edition of the Pieta Prayer book by Miraculous Lady of the Roses. I've worn these out over the last couple of decades, and I had to pull a new one out. And I said, oh, look, a new prayer. And guess what it says on the bottom of the prayer? A witness by none other than that great saint of India, Teresa of Calcutta. She said it made a great difference in the lives of the missionaries of charity. Now, you know the work they do. And you really have to have love in your heart to do what they do. And so they said this was a wonderful, and this is an awesome prayer. Awesome prayer. So onward, this is part of our battle, is we have to be witnesses of God's love all the time. Now, there's four things I learned in seminary which helps us. Don't allow yourself to be lonely, angry, hungry, or sad. It's, something like that. It was called, I think it was called last. Yeah, lonely, angry. No, that's a different one. Yeah, that's a different one. Well, anyway, you get the idea. And tiredness is very a bad thing. When you're tired, you don't want to do anything. I don't care how good you are. That's when you take a nap. At my age, you take a nap. That was a standing joke at a seminar. The seminar I went to, the average age was 50. And everyone took a nap in the afternoon. Not everyone, but, you know. But the thing is, I learned when I worked for the government, for our horror service, a 20-minute nap is equal to 2 hours of sleep. And so you get regenerated, you can go out again. You know, rather than try to tough it out. Sometimes you can tough it out, but other times you're better to stop and take a nap, especially if you're driving, right? And so, let's continue. So, the next thing is be a prayer warrior. And I mean it. If you don't pray an hour a day, you're not doing anything. And I would suggest that's just the beginning. Because you have to pray to get the grace. Jesus said, knock and you receive. Ask and open the door. Open the door to your heart. You've seen that image of Jesus at the door, knocking. I forget the artist. But there's always in front of the door. It's your door. And there's no handle on the outside of the door. You have to open the door from the inside. So that's our heart that Jesus is knocking on. And it's not hard. He's very loving and kind. I mean, believe me, as a priest, sometimes you think you get rid of this guy. You know? But he's so merciful. I go to confession, and you know what happens in the confession in the Catholic Church or any of the Orthodox churches or Byzantine Rite? Your sin is gone. He can't remember it. I remember some story of a priest asked the visionary, or asked Jesus, what was my last mortal sin? The visionary came back and says, Jesus says, I can't remember. And because it's wiped out. That's awesome. So when you go to confession, you get absolution, you do penance, it's like you're starting all over. Only God could create something like that. Mankind would always hold a grudge. I'll not forget. I'll forget, but I'm not going to forget. That's not forgiveness. When you forgive, you must forget. Remember the Our Father prayer. The Our Father prayer is a very dangerous binding prayer. Right? Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. So if you don't forgive, you cannot be forgiven. Be a prayer warrior. Pray as never before because someone's soul salvation depends on it. Maybe your own. Pray with your heart, as I mentioned before. And consecrate your heart to Jesus through Mary. I would recommend the St. Louis de Montfort consecration. And what does this word consecrate mean anyway? We're talking about consecration. Consecrate is when you set something aside for a holy and sacred purpose. And that's why it's a mortal sin to sin against something that's consecrated or sacred, because it belongs to God. So if you beat up a priest, you're in trouble. If you beat up a bishop, you're really in trouble. Bishops are mortal sins, we're just venial sins. But, so if you're consecrating yourself, what does Jesus expect now? He expects to use your heart for him alone. He's jealous, remember, jealous God. And so you have to live your consecration. And so you really have to commit your life to Jesus. You know, it's like the altar calls if you're Protestant. You know, you go up and you give yourself to Jesus. And that's a serious commitment. And he wants all of you. It says interior and exterior. So consecrate your heart to the United Hearts, of course. And the United Hearts is, you notice the first heart is Mary. The first heart is Mary, and then Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit. And why is the Holy Spirit between Jesus and God the Father? Simple question. It's love, exactly. The Holy Spirit is the love of the Father and the Son. And it's generated by their love. Their mutual love is the third person. And that's to be the image of the family. Husband, wife, the love between the two produces a child, which is the image of the Trinity, and that's why God hates divorce. Because you destroy the image of God. So we have to be very careful and very prudent. You should never get married to make any decision in your life without praying first. Just think, people get married today on a whim, out of lust. And they don't even know the other person, but dude, aren't they cute? Isn't he handsome? He could be a monster, you know? And so any life decision, you don't just do it. You think about it, you weigh it. And certainly a life decision like marriage, boy, that's important. I've never got married. I was blessed never to get married. Some woman was blessed. They never married. So we have to live in holy love and be united with God in prayer. That was I think Blessed Mother came back because she could see these prayer groups forming out there. And she said, be united. Be united in prayer. You know, don't be jealous of someone else's position if they're smarter or they may have a better voice or something. Who cares? The purpose is to be united in love and prayer. And then support holy truth. Now, what is holy truth? You know, we've heard that holy love is truth. Well, yeah, but truth is a person. Truth is Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and life. So we're talking ultimately about what God is that is truth, what Jesus has taught us. Everything Jesus has said and done is an illustration of truth. And because we can say holy love is truth because God is love. And so holy love is truth because God is love. And it's holy love because it's purity in our love. It's not human love. It's God love, which is self-sacrificial love. If you ever have a good marriage, you sacrifice. If you have a good relationship with anyone, there's sacrifice involved and suffering involved. And that's part of becoming a saint. That's how married people become saints. They suffer with each other. Oh, geez, I've been with this guy. I thought they'd suffer this and that. Oh, he's going to make me a saint, I swear. And so let me move on because a lot to cover. So we surrender all we own to God, interior and exterior. Pray daily and pray unceasingly. I've heard the Blessed Mother say that many times. Become a hymn of praise. A hymn of praise. That's a different phrase, isn't it? And that was that radiating prayer is all about. I couldn't wait to get to that prayer. It's so beautiful. And so they become a hymn of praise. Pray that prayer with your heart and your will. That's the one thing. When you pray with your heart, with love in your heart, you get what you ask for. You may not like it, but you get it. Because the crown comes with a cross. There is no glory without suffering. Ask any great saint in heaven. They'll tell you, oh yes. There's some horrible things that have happened in the history of the world and produced a lot of great saints. World War II is one. And all the other vicious things that have happened to people in the world under things like communism, socialism. Socialism is a great evil in the world. We have three examples of failure of socialism in the 20th century. It's called fascism, Nazism, and communism. And this country is headed down that path of socialism, which makes people lazy, and the government becomes a dictator, and you have no freedom. It starts with taking away what? Religious freedom. And then it'll be the right to life. Oh, gee, that's gone, isn't it? Well, yeah, the right to life is gone in this country. And they're trying to push euthanasia on you and all kinds of immorality. We are at war. We must realize that. We must act like we're at war with prayer. So we're getting to the consecration, finally, to unite our hearts. We just consecrated ourselves at this point. The consecration of the heart of the world to unite our hearts. Again, the daily prayer. And the effects of this, just given this in July, to awaken every soul to truth that there is a difference. There is good. There is evil. It isn't relative. It's black or it's white. Good, bad, red, white. I don't care what you say. But there is good in the world and there is evil in the world. And we know it. You see it every day. Unfortunately, we see more evil because the good that's happening is ignored. They don't want to talk about the good. The media never does because the media primarily is evil. They have an evil agenda. And they're nothing but brainwashers, and you have to know that. The media has never, ever spoke the truth. I don't care, in any generation. They even made funny movies about it called My Girl Friday and all these stupid things that went on in that movie to just have a story. It was this boy, Cary Grant, remember? And Katharine Hepburn in this movie, My Girl Friday. And the sheriff, he was crooked, and this guy was supposedly a killer, and all it was, he was crazy. And he escaped from jail because he took the sheriff's gun from his hand. I mean, but the thing is, the media didn't care about that. The media wanted the guy killed because they wanted a story. And the media is no different today. All I want is a story, and then they have their hidden agenda, which is also socialist. Because the Communist Party in 1958 said, we will destroy the United States by destroying its morals. They've succeeded. And the enemy also said, we'll destroy the economy. It's just warned us, and therefore, everything will collapse. We'll have one world government, one world religion, which is Satanism, and we'll all be slaves. And that's where we're headed. Be careful. Pray. So this consecration is to awaken to people the truth of good and evil and to inspire them to consecrate their soul to the United Hearts and live that consecration. So consecrate the hearts and lives to Jesus through Mary, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. And what will this do? This will strengthen the heart of the world to truth of good versus evil, to live a loving life, which is, again, handle holy love. It'll draw the heart of the world into union with the will of God, and therefore evil will end, wars will cease, and guess what? Evil, disease will disappear. You realize that under the rain, in the future, the world will be like the Garden of Eden, except there won't be any serpent. That's the new heavens and new earth. Now, for the last part, which I wrote first, our goal is saving souls. And that's... How's that? Okay. The button went down. And so the goal is saving souls, and God has given all these messages as tools. So we have to live the message. We've got to radiate in prayer. And so we say, what is the message? The message is you. You are the message by how you live your life. And it's to be union with God. We have to be divine. Small d, divine. Just St. Augustine taught that way back in the 500s. We have to be divinized. And of course, we have the tools, the divinization that he gave to his church, to the sacraments, especially the Holy Eucharist. And we have to become Christ-like. And how do we have this union with God? We've got the sacraments. What do we have to have? A knowledge of God. Knowledge of God. How do you get a knowledge of God? You can read about and know about God, but that's not knowledge of God. How do you get knowledge of anyone? You spend time with them. You spend time with them. I hope you do. I mean, you cannot have knowledge of birth without spending time. Therefore, you must take time in quiet and pray. That's why I said you have to have a minimum of an hour a day of prayer. 3 hours a day is not too much. As you consider all your prayer. You know, it's, and I must say, quality prayer. Prayers lifting your heart and mind to God. Read and learn and be steeped in Scripture. There's a heresy of the 20th century in the Catholic Church. For you Protestants, you can laugh at this one. You should not read the Bible. You should listen to the priest. What if the priest thinks he doesn't know the Bible, doesn't want you to know the Bible? You're in tough shape. And I've heard a lot of people say that, you listen to the priest. Well, if the priest is a heretic or could care less about the Bible, what are you going to learn? St. Pius X, Pope, in the early 20th century, said there's nothing more beautiful for a Catholic to do than be steeped in Scripture. I've got 5 minutes left. I've got to talk fast.
And you thought he didn't have anything to say, huh? Okay. In Scripture, there's a couple of really good study Bibles, Navajo University and Ignatius Study Bibles. Meditate on Scripture, adore Jesus, adoration if you're Catholic, or if you're not, go into a Catholic church. Jesus is there, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Devotion to Jesus and Mary. The other important thing that we forget here, we haven't mentioned, we did it, the Chapel of Divine Mercy. This is one of the major weapons that Jesus gave in 1930 to St. Kowalska. It's for the end. It's for the second coming. At the 3 o'clock hour, you ask Jesus for anything you want in virtue of his passion, and he will give it to you. In virtue of his passion, he says, whatever you ask in that hour, and he does. He's done it for me more than once. In virtue of his passion. And so you need to be a prayer warrior, steeped in Scripture. Rosary is the other weapon, very powerful, and the radiance prayer. Be full of virtue. What virtue? Well, love of God, love of neighbor, humility. You can't go anywhere without humility. Make and live the consecration. The individual to St. Louis de Montfort, I would say, and the United Hearts, and the pray, pray, pray. Now, I'm down to about 3 minutes. And I know Father Mike has covered most of these messages, so I can blow them off. But I do want to talk about just the ones specifically related to the consecration. And I'm not going to read the whole message. May 13th, Fatima Day. Blessed Mother said this year, my warnings at Fatima were left unheeded, and you experienced the loss of millions of lives in World War II. Today, I've come to ask you, my children, to pay attention to my call and to not wait for someone to approve. Do not repeat the same mistake of the generations past. Consecrate your hearts, your lives, in the heart of the world to our united hearts. The world does not comprehend God's justice, nor does the world respect the great weapon of holy love. There is still time to transform hearts, lives, governments, and church leaders in and through holy love. I've chosen each of you here, this message. Right now, you are called to be here to hear this message. Make it known. Remember, 2 years ago, I went to my bishop with this message because all the bishops haven't asked them. Jesus specifically asked them to make this consecration of the world to United Hearts. They refused. I think a few bishops world to world did it. I did it on my two parishes. But you know what? What is that? So therefore, the lay people must take over where the bishops have failed. This is not the first time in the history of the church that this has happened. Next message on this consecration, I may go over. May 16th, Blessed Mother says, just a piece, Jesus says, that those souls who come on pilgrimage to the property and prayerfully visit the shrine of my sorrows or the stations of the cross and also pray the consecration of the heart of the world to our united hearts will receive the complete blessing of our united hearts. My son is all love and mercy. He is making conversion of the heart of the world as accessible as he can. Use the opportunities of grace he offers you. And then on June 27th, Jesus says, because holy love is the fulfillment of truth, the embodiment of all the commandments. These messages today are meant to reshape the conscience of the world and place God in dominion over all hearts and every nation. It is with urgency that I seek the propagation of this mission. These messages and the consecration of every heart, including the heart of the world, to our united hearts. It's urgent. Make it known. And then, just on the other day, August 2nd, Blessed Mother says, dear children, each time you pray the prayer, the consecration of the heart of the world to the united hearts, God pours grace into the world. Thus souls are convicted of the wicked ways and attracted to personal holiness. Every soul that follows the inclination of these graces strengthens the remnant faithful. Satan's kingdom in this world is weakened forever by the conversion of one soul. Therefore, on this theme, he is powerfully opposed to the recitation and propagation of this consecration. Pray for the grace of holy boldness in the face of all evil attacks. Persevere in the will of God and propagating this consecration far and wide. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Father Larry and Father Mike. Go to the front of the room, please, for our Q&A. For what? For persecution. Actually, let's just pray in our Father for Father Larry and Father Mike today and ask the Father to bless their vocation and to protect their vocation, help them to grow in personal holiness, and be prepared to hear the message from St. John Vianney we got today. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
How do you sustain your joy in prayer continually during these difficult times, especially when assailed continuously by the evil in the world, and when you are evangelizing the messages? And I'm going to throw in one more thing here, so we've got another question. And when it appears there's a conspiracy against anything and everything related to God, whether it's in God we trust, taking that phrase off, our money or whatever.
Adoration of Jesus is a blessed sacrament. You spend time in quiet adoration, it's incredible. It's like you're in a different world. And it restores all the strength you need. It gives you a tremendous peace of heart and mind. And you can't get that anywhere else except from Jesus. I mean, what can I say? Adoration of Jesus, you spend that quiet time with him. And it doesn't take long. It doesn't take long. 5 minutes can do it. If you're Protestant, you sneak in the Catholic Church, right? Hey, Scott Hahn, that's what he did, and that's what converted him. He saw these, you know, these ordinary blue-collar workers that go in the masses. What is this? And he went in, these people are really devout. And it was really the Eucharist that converted him. He was anti-Catholic originally. So the power of being in the presence of Jesus is awesome.
Couldn't have said it better. It's exactly what I was thinking. It's like, you know, and we have, the thing of it is like, and this is where it's really important when you're evangelizing, you know, because you're going to run into all sorts of people, you know, and if they see that joy that you exuberate, you know, in evangelizing, you know, especially if it's a Protestant, and they ask you, well, how do you keep this up? It's a way of really bringing them into the church, you know. I mean, this, the whole aspect about holy love and the fact that it's this ministry is an ecumenical ministry is to draw people of all faiths into the true church. Jesus said that, you know, that, you know, in his discourse to his apostles at the Last Supper, that his prayer, he was praying to his Heavenly Father, that all would be one, as you and I are one. And he was talking about his church. And that's the way it was at the beginning. We're called in this mission to also be that same way, to bring people back into the true church so it can be one again. And that's going to be essential in these last times, in these end times. You know, when the Antichrist shows up, we got to be ready as one church.
May I add a few things? Okay. So I saw that. How do you sustain your joy? And I think the first thought I had is you've got to sustain your discipline. Discipline means discipleship, being a disciple. That's where we get the word discipline from. So we've heard it said, I believe, that Satan is using the media. So we take into our senses affects our joy in our heart. So if we're watching the news, how long does it take before that joy is removed? What removes it, it takes us out of the present moment, trusting in God. We're now worried about the future. Our joy comes from knowing we are forgiven, too. So if we constantly are dwelling on the past, the mistakes we've made, we can't forgive ourselves. It's a constant reminder of relationships we may have on the outside. It's a constant reminder of this, and it hurts inside. It's this union with the divine will that is required to sustain joy. That's where our peace comes from. We hear of other visionaries, other than Maureen. We've heard them over the years. We hear these messages. A lot of them can instill fear in you, but I guarantee you, if you stay focused on the holy love messages, God is love, love conquers all things. Love, trust, surrender, peace. That's a formula we've been given. If you don't have peace, you're not surrendering. If you're not surrendering, you're not trusting. If you're not trusting, you don't realize how much you're loved. And once we realize, by spending time before the Blessed Sacrament or in the Holy Scriptures, if you're not Catholic, or in prayer, and I know so many non-Catholic strong prayer warriors that are unbelievable. I wish I could be more like them many times. They're such a good example of relationship with God. We're talking about relationship. Yeah, relationship with God, a lot of that fear goes away. You sustain the joy. Turn off the TV. Be careful what you do with your money, how you spend your time. Think about some of the movies that are out there. You spend your money. Where's that money going to? It goes right back into the machine that is portraying violence. All these things that God never intended his children to take into their hearts and souls. So just ponder that a little bit. Ask God for the grace to show you, and this is for me too, those things that we may be taking into our senses, using our free will in a way that is countering our prayer, that we're asking God, we want to have continuous joy. We want to be the image. We want to be the message. We want to be the light in the world. That's part of my talk tomorrow, but that's what it's about, I believe. Anything else on that? My own church has several different prayer groups already. My pastor is a devout believer in Medjugorje and in Mary. How can we introduce a new focus, in quotes, to our prayer groups when they may be set in their prayer intentions already? Does a prayer group need to be titled Children of the United Hearts Prayer Group?
If a prayer group is set in its ways, you don't need to set up combat or anything like that. And Blessed Mother's warned about these silly jealousies between visionaries. And I would think the best way to do it is not even mention holy love, a ministry, but talk about this consecration and introduce that as a prayer. And again, it's going to be the Holy Spirit that directs you how to do that. And just because it's a prayer, you can have more than one prayer group. You can have dozens of prayer groups with different focuses. But if you get a Marian group, it should not, may not be too difficult. Probably wouldn't introduce it into the group as a formal thing because of a natural resistance, and so. But, I think that's when you need to pray. Listen to your heart. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to you. But there's other opportunities. You don't have to stay within existing prayer groups. We're talking evangelization, not just prayer groups. So.
I would agree with that. One of the things that I'm going to touch on tomorrow and say how to pray is about the formation of prayer groups, of Children of the United Hearts, and to have for the future, because Blessed Mother said that we're going to be meeting off and on, throughout the year, ambassadors from those prayer groups to attend these conferences and essentially form this, formal organization, the Children of the United Hearts Association, worldwide. The fact of the matter is that, you can probably introduce your ideas about, the Children of the United Hearts into existing prayer groups, But if they are set in their ways, it's going to be a lot more difficult than if you formed your own. And that's what I'm going to touch about on tomorrow is, you know, how can you form your own, you know, prayer group as a, you know, with the Children of the United Hearts? And what some mother said, that you don't have to have any kind of format or anything. Just pray. Pray and be united. That's really what it's all about. And there's no real format to that.
Just one more point here. You've got to be careful, because the devil will get into details. He will instantly inject into people's minds as he can, thoughts and emotions, attacking this whole concept. And so, if you meet any resistance in an existing prayer group, I would say back up, because it's only an opportunity for Satan to break up maybe the existing prayer group, which he wants to, of course. He doesn't want any prayer groups going. So if he can throw a hand grenade in the midst there, he'll do it. And if you got a weak link in a prayer group, that'll be the person. It might be the priest. Who knows? So you have to watch out. The enemy is always active 24/7. You know, you're in that church 24/7. And the enemy never gets tired. Never gets tired like we do.
We pray the family rosary of the unborn every night. Is this an acceptable prayer group as mentioned in the Children of the United Hearts?
Yes. Actually, I remember this message that Wessa Mother gave at the Feast of Her Sorrows. We had it, it was about 3 years ago, I think it was. We had it at Lake of Tears here instead of out in the United Hearts field. And she was talking about the importance of families praying the rosary again in these difficult times, you know. And so, yes, you know, a family rosary is a means of praying, you know. And you can incorporate in your intentions in your family rosary, you know, the consecration to the heart of the world, to the United Hearts. I'm going to mention again tomorrow and how to pray. What's Mother asked us, just that the prayer groups who are formed, you know, to pray for, you know, as Children of the United Hearts, she just asked for two formalities. You pray the consecration of the heart of the world to the United Hearts, and you pray the consecration to the United Hearts. That's it. Whatever else you want to add on to, that's fine with her.
Any more questions, Tom? You can leave now.
Thank you, Father Larry and Father Mike. We have a few more things we want to do before we dismiss for dinner. Father Larry and Father Mike will collect religious articles purchased by the attendees. Stay where you are. You don't have to come up here, okay? They will take care of that and tell you what you need to do. If they're in, it'd be a good question. Will you be here tomorrow? Yeah, we'll do it tomorrow too, okay? Right, Jane? After that, Jane will do some housekeeping. Talked about some housekeeping items. I'll have some closing remarks for the day, and we will read the message that we received today from St. John Vianney. As Catholics know, today is St. John Vianney's feast day. For our information, how many will be returning tomorrow? Just about everybody. All right. How many will not be able to make it tomorrow? Okay. We'll remember you in our prayers, okay? There's one person, actually. So that's very, very good. So glad you're here.
Does anyone have that prayer for the Benedictine medals with them? And we'll do those as well. Yeah, just bring that prayer. We'll do a general blessing first. And, okay, he's got it. religious items you may have bought or brought with you, medals, crosses, crucifixes. May God bless them, and all who look at these items, and whoever wears or prays with them, will be truly blessed. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now for the Benedictine medals. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I cast out the demon from you, preacher metals. By God the Father Almighty, who made the heavens and the earth, and the seas and all that they contain, may all power of the adversary, all assaults and pretensions of Satan, be repulsed and driven afar by these metals, so that they may be for all who use them a help in mind and body. In the name of the Father Almighty, of Jesus Christ, the Son, our Lord, and the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, in the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is coming to judge both the living and the dead in the world by fire. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. Save your servants who trust in you, my God. Let us find in you, Lord, a fortified tower. The Lord will give you strength to his people. Lord, send us aid from your holy place. Lord, heed my prayer. Lord, be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, lavish dispenser of every good, we humbly ask that by the prayers of St. Benedict, you pour out your blessing upon these sacred medals and press the letters and signs ascribed to you. Let all who wear them with hearts intent on good works deserve to obtain health of mind and body. Your holy grace and the indulgence that have been granted to us, and may they escape by your merciful help all the attacks and wiles of the devil, and finally appear in your presence, sinless and holy, through Christ our Lord. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, who willed and redeemed the whole world to be born of the Virgin, to be circumcised, rejected by the Jews, betrayed with a kiss by Judas, bound in chains, crowned with thorns, pierced by nails, crucified between robbers, wounded with a lance, and to die at last on the cross. Humbly ask you by your sacred passion that you expel all attacks and wiles of the devil from persons who devoutly call on your holy name, using these words and signs ascribed to you. May it please you to lead them into the harbor of everlasting salvation. You who live and reign forever and ever, we ask this through Christ our Lord.
Well, it has been a very full day, but we're not done yet. Tomorrow is Blessed Mother's birthday. The September 8th is her liturgical birthday, but tomorrow is Blessed Mother's true birthday. So we will be having quite a birthday celebration tomorrow. So before you leave today, we have birthday cards on the table at the information booth, right, the information table, that we'd like everyone to sign if you have not signed them already. So please stop at the information table and sign Blessed Mother's birthday card. Also, you can drop off any other questions that you have written down on the sheets in the drop box. And also, if you have any other blessing point petitions, you can put those in the basket while you're there. Now, we're going to have about an hour and a half for a leisurely dinner. Then we ask you to come back at 7 p.m. if you can, when we're going to have a prayer service next door in the chapel. We're going to pray against abortion, which is a very important issue in this day and age. So if you can come back, please do. It's about 45 minutes to an hour, and then you'll have about an hour beyond that to enjoy the shrine, which then closes at 9 p.m. this evening. Now, when you return tomorrow, the rule is wear your name tags. So please don't forget them tonight, and please do wear them as well. We want to be able to accommodate everyone in the meeting room. We will serve a continental breakfast tomorrow morning from 9:45 to 10:50. Since you already have your name tags, you can go right to the cafeteria for the continental breakfast. We'll be starting then the session at 11 o'clock. Now, we want to handle the music a little differently tomorrow. Because of the nature of the music that we'll be playing, we're going to ask you to be in your seats when it's time to start the session at 11 o'clock. We're going to ask for your respectful silence. You'll see why when you come tomorrow. That'll be for both sessions tomorrow. It's very important. All right. The sessions will run tomorrow, two of them, from 11 o'clock until 2:30. At 3 p.m. next door in the chapel, we will have a rosary service, prayer service, which will be wonderful for Blessed Mother's birthday. Following that, we always like to do it up big here for Blessed Mother. So we'll have a birthday party in the cafeteria. You're all invited. We've ordered several large cakes. We have ice cream. So we're asking as many who can stay to please do. We just love to celebrate Blessed Mother's birthday here. So we're glad that you could be with us this weekend to do so.
We're going to close with a prayer, and then we'll be dismissed.
Let us place ourselves in our Heavenly Father's presence. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings of this day and for the opportunity to share these messages of holy love, that we will be faithful servants in spreading these messages and being evangelizers of holy love to the world, to the heart of the world. We ask your graces, Heavenly Father, that through the blessings of the United Hearts, we will be those faithful servants to go far and wide to spread these messages as Jesus has asked, your Son. We ask through Blessed Mother's protection under her Immaculate Heart, that she will give us the graces of holy, humble love, that we will be able to be faithful evangelizers in this charge, this solemn charge that you have given to us. We ask you now to bless us and to bless our families, those who are most loving to us, and that we want to be more loving to also. And bless all of us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Just encourage you, as you see the volunteers around, just give them a thank you for their efforts. You know, they're very doing a lot of.